Obviously, the theme of VBS, if you can see it from where you're at, following Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I would like you to turn, first of all, to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. As we consider Jesus Christ, the light of the world. 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading at verse 5. 1 John 1, 5. This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 5, of course, is our key verse in this section, and it tells us very clearly that God is light. God, of course, is a spirit being. He's the creator of our universe. We worship him as we are with in his presence now. Jesus said, they who worship the Father must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so within our human spirit, we worship God who is spirit. We worship actually all three persons of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you'll notice he says, this is the message that we have heard from him, that is from Christ, who got the message from the Father in heaven. And the apostles are passing on the message that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. When it says God is light, it's talking about the fact that God is righteous, he's holy, and he's truth. And you know, when you stop to think about those characteristics of God, you think, wow, what an awesome God we worship. One of the applications of understanding these characteristics of God is to remind ourselves that God can't make any mistakes. Isn't that neat to know? God is ultimately in sovereign control of our universe. And he can't make any mistakes because he's holy, he's righteous, he's just and true. And all these things come under the banner of saying that God is light. Light produces, of course, on the earth. It produces growth in crops. If there were no light, the crops couldn't grow. So what are we saying by this? We're saying that light is essential for life. God is essential for life. Spiritual life. A person can have physical life and not have a relationship with God. But if you're going to have a relationship with God, then you're going to have to come to Jesus Christ, who is the light. And we'll talk about this in just a moment. Pardon me, just a moment. So God is completely light. Did you notice that the text said, and in him there is no darkness at all? That means there's absolutely no sin. He is totally set apart from sin. The word holy means to be set apart. There is no darkness in him at all. He's completely untainted by any evil or sin. God is light means, again, repeat, he's perfectly holy and righteous. Well, now Jesus comes along and says, don't miss this now. I am the light of the world. You catch what Jesus was telling the people who were listening to him? He's saying, I am God, the Son. I am the light of the world. Not just of the Jewish nation, but of the peoples of the earth. And those who come to me shall not live in darkness, separated from God, but shall have the light of life. And I like when I see that verse, shall have the light of life. You know, when we come to Christ, we put our faith in him, we really understand what life is all about. We understand why we're here. We're here to bring honor and glory to him. We're here because of him. And he gives us purpose and meaning in life. We move through life. We do our jobs. We are a blessing to our families. We have the relationships of life because of our relationship with God. You see, we belong to him through faith in Jesus Christ. So the Lord Jesus himself said, I am the light of the world. We looked at 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, it says, God is light. So Jesus again referred to himself as light. I am the light of the world. He's holy, he's righteous, he's just, and he's true. We had a short Bible study the other night in our small group. And A.W. Tozer has the book on the attributes of God. We've been looking at these. And he said one thing about the holiness of God. He said, we cannot understand the holiness of God. We want to try to, but we can't understand the fact that God is absolutely holy, pure, righteous, true. You say, well, we can try to. We do. We try to understand that. But we are sinful. The Bible tells us that we're born in sin. And until we come to faith in Jesus Christ, our sins are not taken care of. But when we do trust Christ as Savior, here's the good news. When you trust that Christ as Savior, you are forgiven of your sin. And by the way, you are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. There we go again. Christ is light, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So when you trust Christ as your Savior, God looks at you as his child. He understands that while we're here on earth, we still may sin, but he looks at you being clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Interesting truth in the Word of God. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. In fact, it's interesting to consider how he revealed this truth, even on that occasion in Matthew chapter 17, where Jesus was up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, recorded in Matthew 17. And by the way, Moses and Elijah were there. Remember that? Some of you remember that account. You may not be familiar with that account. So here we have in our Lord's earthly ministry, he's up on the Mount of Transfiguration. He took up with him Peter, James, and John. And then Moses and Elijah show up. And what's interesting about that is they were in bodies. See, when a believer dies, catch this, when you go to heaven, you're not going to be floating around as a spirit up in heaven. You get a body. Now, it's not the resurrection body. It's not the permanent body, but there will be a body until you get the resurrection body at the rapture, at the resurrection, as it's referred to in 1 Thessalonians chapter 14. You say, wow, yeah, that is interesting. It's very interesting. Absent from the body means to be present with the Lord. And you'll be able to communicate. You'll be able to talk to loved ones there. You'll be able to talk to the Lord. Heaven is a glorious place. And just that little incident on the Mount of Transfiguration reminds us of this truth. Peter, James, and John, Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah had passed on years before this and into the presence of the Lord. But what I like about that passage, it says in Matthew 17, and Jesus was transfigured before them. Now, catch this. And his face shone like the sun. God is light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. And in verse 5 we read, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And this is God's instruction to us. When we get into the Word of God, we need to read the Word of God, and I've said this many times before, slowly, carefully, so that the Lord can speak to you from His Word. Sometimes a Christian will say, you know, I read the Bible, I can't really catch anything out of it. Slow down, talk to the Lord, and say, Lord, I need you to communicate to me from your Word. I need to learn more about you. I need to know more about what your will is for my life. The word light, by the way, is found 23 times in the first 12 chapters of John's Gospel. And each of those times, almost each of those times, except for a couple, it refers to Jesus Christ or his teaching. Jesus is called the light of men, 1:4. He's called the true light, 1:9. He's called the light of the world, of course, in 8:12. John, the Apostle John, also wrote this, and I had to plug this in for you. John wrote in chapter 3, verse 19, light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Now think about that for a minute. People liking darkness rather than the light of Christ, well, we would say, well, why would that be? They don't want to change. Many people who are in sin, one of the reasons they don't move towards God is because, you know, they're kind of happy with their sin. But if you find someone moving towards God, you find that the Holy Spirit's working in that person's life. And they may even be in a position before coming to Jesus Christ. But God has His way of drawing people to Himself. And this is why we continue to pray for those that we know who are not saved yet, they're not Christians yet. Don't give up praying for someone that you are burdened for. Keep praying that the Lord will work in their lives and draw them to the light. Light is coming into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil, here's strong words here, hates the light and doesn't come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. And people who hate the light and have an animosity towards God and spiritual things are people who, and this is what the Bible says, are satisfied with their sinful condition and really don't want God to change them. But keep in mind, not everybody's like that. And the Spirit of the Lord is drawing people to Himself. And that's why we continue to pray for those who have not come to the light of Christ. Now, very quickly, the theme of VBS, of course, is Jesus Christ, the light of the world. I'm going to give you a little summary. On day one, Jesus Christ as the light of the world gives hope. Okay? Hope is a trustful expectation that what God has said He will do, He will do. We have hope. And hope given in the Scripture is not the kind of hope that we use in our conversations today. Like, I hope this will happen. That's not how the term is used in the Bible. It's not a feeling that what is wanted will happen. Hope in the Bible is a settled confidence in the fact of what God has said He will do. And, you know, we need to be encouraged with that, don't we? We really do. God says, I give unto you eternal life, and you shall never perish. Neither shall any man take you out of my hand. My Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to take them out of my Father's hand. Wow, that gives us hope. We are secure in Christ. We're secure in the hand of the Father, in the hand of the Son. So the key verse for day one is Psalm 71:5. O Lord, you alone are my hope. Children can get a hold of that, can't they? Day two, Jesus gives courage. Okay, I remember Jesus and Peter walked on water, and they have this little, I don't know what to call it, this little thing that they've put together so the kids can walk on water. I don't know if it's going to work or not. It may or it may not. But Jesus does give courage, okay? He gives courage. Remember when Peter started sinking down? Jesus said, Matthew 14:27, key verse for that day, take courage, I am here. And the children are going to be encouraged to know that the Lord goes with them. And when they go through certain storms in their lives, when they feel like they're sinking, they need to reach out to Jesus Christ. He is there for them. Day three, He gives hope. He gives courage. Day three, He gives direction. That's the day the kids are going to be plugged into for a while, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is the one who says these things are right, certain things are wrong before God. And key verse would be, He will show you the path to take. Proverbs 3:6. Day four, Christ, the light of the world, is the one who gives us love. Jesus gives love. And this is so important that the children need to hear and understand that God loves them very much. It could be that a child could come from a home where there are other children in the family and they don't feel loved. Listen, God loves each of us very much. And He sent Jesus to prove His love for us. And His love is unconditional. We may do things to fail the Lord, even as mature believers. Some of us have known the Lord for a number of years, and we don't always live perfectly, do we? We have to confess our sins. We know that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. And God doesn't withhold His love when we fail to do His will. We can grieve the Lord when we sin, but He doesn't remove His love. And some children experience the removal of love sometimes even in their own home. The first John 3:16 says, we know that, I got the verse written down here. We know what real love is because Jesus gave His life for us. So God proved His love by allowing Jesus to die on the cross. Day 4, Jesus gives us love. And He loves us very much. We know that, right? Do we ever doubt it? We shouldn't, should we? No. Day 5, Jesus gives us power. And on day 5, they're going to be learning about the power of the Holy Spirit. When we trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, children need to understand too, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. And He's the one that gives us the power to live the Christian life. We can't live the Christian life on our own. We can't do a lot of things on our own. Jesus said, in fact, without Me you can do nothing. That is, that counts for time and eternity. And so we need to remember to do things in the power of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 4:7 is the verse for that day, where it says, our great power is from God and not from ourselves. And so the children will be reminded that God will give them the power to live to please Him. Now, quickly go with me again to John chapter 8. The reading for this morning, we just want to focus on John 8:12 right now. John chapter 8 and verse 12. This is the reference where Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, the context for Jesus saying this, He was in the temple at the time of the Feast of the Tabernacles. And the candelabra in the temple was lit. There was the burning of candles, and the candelabra was lit in order to produce light in the temple. In fact, it was a large candelabra. And in fact, somebody said there was more than one, but there was at least one. And the light from that candelabra lit the temple area. In fact, it could be seen outside of the temple. Now, the lighting of the candles in the tabernacle, at that point is when Jesus, probably when they were lighting the candles, He calls out and He says, I am the light of the world. Well, the people who heard Him knew exactly what He was saying. They knew what He was saying. Remember, we looked at that verse, God is light. So the people of Israel recognize, and we'll see this in just a moment again, that Jesus was referring to Himself as God, and we know Him to be God the Son. Now, at the lighting of the candelabra in the temple, the Jewish people, please don't miss this. This is how we get to understand Jesus Christ being the light of the world. The people in the temple area, they thought primarily of the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud that led the people of Israel during their years of wandering in the wilderness. They wandered for 40 years, okay? So think in terms of the people, the Jewish people, who are thinking in terms of, oh yes, God was there with our people when they were wandering in the wilderness. This pillar of fire first appeared on the day when the children of Israel were miraculously delivered out of the land of Egypt. You know all the details, some of you, of that. And the pillar of fire, or the pillar of cloud, stood between the people of Israel about to cross the Red Sea and the pursuing Egyptians who wanted to capture them and take them back into the land of Egypt. So you can see then that this pillar of fire, I'm going to refer to it mainly as the pillar of fire, kept the Jewish people from being attacked. And so we would say then that the fire, the pillar of fire, provided protection. It also guided the people through the wilderness, and we're going to be seeing this in just a moment. It also was a source of guidance. See, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He wants to guide us. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. He really does want guidance. Now, let's get back to this pillar of cloud and pillar of fire, which the children of Israel had in the Old Testament economy, spelled out in the book of Exodus and Numbers. This pillar of cloud literally at times spread out over the people and was a shade for them by day. And at night, it was a source of warmth for them. We'll tell you about this in just a minute. But I want to mention this right now. During the ceremony, when Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world," people, oh yeah, God appeared to our people when they were wandering in the wilderness. Okay, they were wandering in the wilderness. Now, why is the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire important? You say, oh yeah, I remember reading about that when I was reading the Bible. Why are they important? Well, the most obvious way in which the pillar of fire was important was that it symbolized the presence of God among His people. In other words, when the people came out of their tents in the morning, they saw the pillar of cloud. If they stepped out of their tents at night, they saw the pillar of fire. And they would absolutely come to the conclusion, God is with us. Pillar cloud, pillar fire, was symbolic of the presence of God. It was actually the Shekinah glory of God. He was there among His people. Okay? And we looked at the phrase, God is light. God reveals Himself in light. And He revealed Himself through what has been called the Shekinah glory. The word Shekinah means the presence. The people didn't doubt the fact that God was present with us. Now, I do want you to look at a reference with me, Exodus chapter 13, 21 and 22. Move around your Bibles a little bit. Let's hear those pages. Exodus 13, verses 21 and 22. Exodus 13, 21 and 22. Watch this now. And the Lord went before them, the children of Israel, Exodus 13, 21, by day in a pillar of cloud. Now, did you notice? We looked at it kind of carefully, but I'm going to slow down again. It says, the Lord went before them. It doesn't just say the cloud went before them, does it? It doesn't say that. It says, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So again, we're saying the pillar of cloud, pillar of fire. When people of Israel saw that, they said, God is here with us in the wilderness. Very important. There are other passages of scriptures that tell us that God spoke from the cloud, and sometimes He even brought judgment to the people of Israel, and I'm not going to go into detail on that, speaking out of the cloud. But at no time in the wandering in the wilderness did the children of Israel forget the fact that the presence of God was with them. Now, let me slow down here a little bit just at this point. You and I know that God has promised to go with us through Jesus Christ, remember? Jesus said, I will go with you even unto the end of the age. Lo, I am with you always. So when we drive home from church today, the Lord's with us. No matter what's in your activity for the afternoon, Jesus Christ is with you if you know Him as your Lord and Savior. This is awesome to know the presence of Christ. The people in the Old Testament, they saw there was a visual for them to realize that Christ was with them. We know that Christ is with us because we have the Holy Spirit living within us. And Christ gave us that promise, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. So when you're driving home, you don't see a pillar of cloud and pillar of fire. I hope you don't. It might slow you down driving. But you know that God, Jesus Christ, is with you in the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a sad passage of Scripture, and I'm not going to look at it in detail, but in Ezekiel chapter 10, we have the account where the people of Israel just kept disobeying God, and they started following the gods of the other nations around them. And the Lord, this is sad, this is really sad. The Lord removed the cloud of glory from the temple in Jerusalem and went up and it went over and out of Jerusalem. And from that time on, Oh, there was a remnant who believed in the Lord. There were the prophets who believed in the Lord. But from that time on, the people of Israel just fell more deeply into their idolatry and did not worship the true and the living God. Ezekiel chapter 10, that's recorded. And I just felt I should mention this, that, well, when the people of Israel went into the temple, they didn't any longer see that manifestation of God with the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire that was in the temple. But now, you see, the Lord Jesus is crying out, and he says, I am the light of the world. What does he want his people to see? The presence of God is among them in the person of Jesus Christ. He's God the Son, and he's the one who said again to us, Lo, I am with you always. God, again, was present. He was manifestly present in the midst of his people. But remember now, not all the people of Israel accepted Jesus. What did they do to the Lord Jesus? Hung him on the cross, didn't they? But here's the good news for us. He came unto his own people, his own nation, the nation of Israel, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, that's you and me, to those he gives the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name. So we're so thankful for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. John 1:14 says, And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Just want to say this. A lot of people, they talk about how Jesus, when He was on earth, He did take upon Him flesh and blood, and He did look like a man, okay? Like any other man. But there's another sense in which if we could have been there to see Jesus Christ, if we could have been there to hear Him, I'm coming over into the Apostle John's camp where he says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Many people saw the God-man, Jesus Christ. No one like Him. He's absolutely unique. He's truly God and He's truly man. But when He spoke, even unbelievers said, no one ever spoke like this man spoke. He was glorious, even in his manhood. And especially that was noticeable by those who were followers of Christ. They knew who he was. Secondly, just quickly, we read that the pillar of fire was used by the Lord to protect the people of Israel. The children of Israel were led in one of the most desolate places or regions of the earth in that day, the wilderness of Sinai. And in the daytime, we are told that the temperature could get up to 140 degrees. Kind of like our area in the summer, right? It could get up to 140 degrees, and at nights, certain times of the year. Remember, they were there for 40 years. At nights, it could go down to freezing. So do you think God protected them? Absolutely. What else did God do for the children of Israel during that 40 years? What did He do with their shoes? Anybody call it out? They didn't wear out. You know, shoe stores were having tough times in those days. Just kidding. So in order to survive, the people needed the protection of God. Shelter from the sun was provided by the cloud. God protected them. There was a special provision of God for the people of Israel, or they would have died. And we're going to just mention this. Remember, the people were looking at the pillar of cloud, pillar of fire. God used it not only to show His presence, but He protected the people of Israel. And I like to remind us that God protects us. Jesus protects us. You have Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Remember, we already talked about that verse. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And you might get in a very difficult situation. The Lord never promised us that we wouldn't have trials as believers. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. Jesus, the light of the world, is one who is protecting us. And I'm going to repeat this. We may never know how the Lord has protected us when we've been in our cars, when we've been in a set of circumstances where there were people who may be opposed to us. How wonderful to know that Jesus goes with us wherever we go. Do you think our children need to hear this? I do. I really do. I remember the psalmist said in Psalm 103, verse 4, who redeems your life from destruction. Jesus Christ also provides protection. And the third thing is, The cloud was important because it was the primary means by which the children of Israel were guided as they roamed through the wilderness. How were they able to find their way? They didn't have the things that we have. They didn't have any maps. They didn't know the area. How were they able to find their way down through the wilderness and then up through the to the land of Canaan? They did it through the direction of the Lord. We won't take the time, but in Numbers chapter 9, it talks about how God used a pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night, and when it lifted up, they were to stay there. When it came back down at the tabernacle, they were to stay there. But when it went out in front and would go before them, they were to move on out. And the Bible is very clear that Jesus Christ wants to lead us. And I would say that all of us at one time or another were saying, Lord, I really want your will in this area. And this is good. You connect with Christ. You say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I have a decision here to make. Lord, I want your leading. He led the children of Israel. He led them through that desert. And he wants to lead us too, Jesus Christ, as the light of the world. He not only wants to be God present with us, he not only wants to protect us, but he wants to guide us. You've probably heard this before, and I've got to mention it. If we want to be guided by the will of God, there's some heart preparation that we need to do. It's one thing to say, yeah, I want God's will, and then not pray about it. I want your will, Lord. So what I do, I go to the Lord. The heart preparation, I think it involves four things. Number one, being totally yielded to the Lord. Saying, Lord, you know, I belong to you. You're my God. You're my Lord. I want to please you. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. We must be willing to do his will. If you say, Lord, I want your will in this, and the Lord may ask you to do something difficult. He may ask you to speak to someone you may not want to speak to. He may ask you to do something to make a change you may in yourself not want to do. But you know, if you say, Lord, you're my God, I'm willing to do what you want me to do, and then you prayerfully consider it. You're talking to the Lord. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, Paul prayed for the Colossian believers. I pray that you'll be filled with the knowledge of God's will. And we should pray that way for one another. You know, pray for your friends, pray for your family, pray for your children, that they might be filled with the knowledge of what God wants them to do. And lastly, this is important. Remember I said there's four? We have to be willing to get rid of sin in our lives. We have to be willing to get honest before the Lord. If there's something in my life that shouldn't be there, I have to be willing to say, Lord, you know, take that out of my life. If I've done something this past week that I shouldn't have done, I got to be mature enough as a Christian and say, Lord, I'm sorry for that sin. And Lord, I want your will. I want to do what you want me to do. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He is the fulfillment of the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. He is God present with his people. He is the source of protection. He is the one who guides us, and he wants us to follow him. And lastly, in Matthew 5, verse 13 and 14, Jesus said two things that should touch us deeply. One, he said, you are the salt of the earth. But the second one, he said, you are the light of the world. Oh my, wow. We spent the last 30 minutes talking about the fact that Jesus is the light of the world. But Jesus says to you and me, he says, I want you to be a light in the world in which you live. There are people perhaps in your family who have no relationship with God, but God wants to use you. You're the light. There are people that you work with. They do not know Jesus as their Savior. God may want you to be the light. Not that you disobey the rules of the place where you work, but you can pray for people because you're the light. I'm going to look at that again. What was that? Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. Wow! Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. But then you see, he gives us the responsibility to carry his light because there are multitudes of people around us who do not know the beauty of God. Remember we sang this morning, you're altogether lovely, you're altogether worthy. And a lot of people don't know who God is. And so the Lord Jesus says to you and to me, he said, first of all, he said, I am the light of the world. He's going to be present with us. He's going to protect us. He's going to guide us. But then he says, believer, you're a light too. And I want to use you for my glory. Let's pray together.